Read the scripture with me. We're in Matthew chapter 10, verses 40 through 42. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives the one who sent me. Anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and anyone who receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward.
I appreciate the scripture reading. These are words of Jesus. Words of Jesus as he was kind of closing. That was the close of Jesus' speech to his 12 disciples as he was sending them out on a mission. And it's there that he says these little ones are his disciples. He's calling his disciples little. It's pretty close to our scripture last week when he talks about the least of these. Says, if anyone gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, who is my disciple? So perhaps last week when we asked this question, who are the least of these, what Jesus had most immediately in mind was his disciples who were going on mission. His disciple, I think of it as his graduated disciples. The least of these, the people who finally figured out what it really means to follow Jesus. The least of these, the guys who figured out that when they go to a party, they don't have to gun for the best seat and the places of honor. They've learned the beauty in taking the nature of a servant. They've learned to give up all rights and authority, and to take the position of a child. They've learned that to find life, you might just have to lose it. They've learned what it means when Jesus said, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. They don't care about status. They've given all that up. Earthly possessions, yeah, all that, they gave up too. So they don't have to be in with the wealthy or the good-looking people or live on the right side of town. None of that matters to them anymore because it's not about them. They've fully taken up their cross and followed Jesus. Under Christ's sacrificial ministry, they've become the least of these. And this is where God wants us to be, taking the lowly nature of a servant, becoming one of the least of these. So I want us to think about that. Think about this idea of, hey, maybe when Jesus was saying, when you've served the least of these, you've served me, he means his traveling disciples and missionaries. Let's look at the section of this text that we looked at last week. This is Matthew 25. This is speaking, this is the middle of the parable of the sheep and the goats. It says, then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when do we see you hungry and feed you and thirsty and give you something to drink? When do we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When do we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. So Jesus is saying, when you care for these least of these, you care for me. When you care for my missionaries, when you care for the people carrying on my message, you care for me. And in this Matthew 10 text that CJ just read, he sends them out relying on the hospitality of others. He sends them out with one garment. So they might need someone to help them out later. They might at some point be naked and need to be clothed like the text says. They don't have extra food. They might need to stay. They might rely on the hospitality of strangers. So it's really important that people receive his messengers well. In Matthew 10:40, whoever welcomes you welcomes me. the way you treat these messengers, the way you treat the people bringing Christ's message is the way you treat him. That's so important. There's a connection between these texts. So then it's no surprise that the people who are blessed, the people who are the sheep, the ones who end up living their lives well, are the ones who welcomed and accepted Jesus's messengers. The ones who welcomed and accepted the message that the least of these graduated disciples, brought with them. And we often, if you look at Scripture, you see lots of times where Jesus' disciples, whether it be his like first 12 apostles or people later down the line carrying his message, are in need. In Matthew 10, if you look at this big charge that he gives his disciples, he implies it's not going to be good for the towns that don't accept you. It's not going to be good for the towns that reject you, and with rejecting you, they reject your message. He also implies it's not always going to be easy for you. He implies they're going to be in trial. They're going to be beat. They're going to be imprisoned. And so in Matthew 10, in our scripture reading, Jesus anticipates his disciples being the least of these that are talked about here in Matthew 25. They're going to be the guys in need of food, in need of water, in need of clothes, in need of someone to take care of them in prison. Even in need when they are sick. And you actually see that in Scripture a striking amount of times, I think. That's not something you think about them risking a lot, sickness, but it happens a lot. You see in the New Testament future disciples getting sick and in need of care. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 20, Paul just kind of off the cuff mentions leaving a disciple named Trophimus on one of his missionary journeys because Trophimus got sick. He had to leave the guy behind. In Philippians 2, we see a man from Philippi named Epaphroditus who came to visit Paul and check on Paul while he was in prison. But while Epaphroditus was there visiting Paul, he gets sick and gets stuck there. He got gravely ill. Some of these disciples who are traveling around and going to different cultures and with different people and just the toll that takes on a body, they risk sickness. I found just a striking connection with this next verse. It's almost what Jesus says here, what Jesus has said in Matthew 25 and in Matthew 10, you see lived out with Paul in Galatians. Look at this. This is Paul's letter to the Galatians in chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. Paul says, as you know, it was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you. And even though my illness was a trial to you, you didn't treat me with contempt or scorn. Instead, you welcomed me as if I were an angel or messenger of God, as if I were Christ Jesus himself. You see all the connections? Receiving the least of these, taking care of these traveling strangers. It's interesting that this area of Galatia, I guess when Paul's traveling around, he shows up in Galatia to people he doesn't know, and they automatically have to take care of him. And, like, I could actually see them being kind of offended, like, oh, this stranger came through, and we don't know what he's got to say, but he's sick, and now we got to take care of him. Now he's staying in my house, and he's kind of become my problem. That's how they could have taken it. They could have been annoyed by it. But it says they didn't treat him with contempt or scorn. They see this stranger coming through, and a bunch of good people. They take him in. They take care of him. They practice hospitality to this stranger with these new strange ideas about the risen Jesus. And because they were willing to take him in and take care of him, they also were willing to receive his word. And that was transformative for them. And so Paul even compares them receiving him and the message that he brought to receiving Jesus and taking care of Jesus. So really, this is showing us a lived version of what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 25 and in Matthew 10. So one of the questions, one of the challenges I have for you this morning is, how do you treat God's messengers? How do you receive God's messengers? Because that's going to be a big deal. That's going to be really important Remember the sheep and the goats parable? That's actually, we're talking about parables about the final judgment. And so I think there's layers of meaning, and I think Jesus uses terms like the least of these, so it has layers of meaning. I think everything we said last week is really important and really matters. The way you care for the people on the margins of society, that's going to matter. When Jesus puts your life under the microscope, he is going to care about how did you love the people that you consider nobodies? How did you treat the people on the margins? That is going to matter. But what's also going to matter is how did you receive the words of life and the word of God when they were brought to you? That's going to play a major role. So I think it's beautiful and powerful that Jesus speaks in a way where there are lots of important takeaways here. But how do you treat those messengers? And you can think of the messengers as like formal messengers, actual missionaries, which is what I think that's closest to the heart of what Jesus was getting at. But it could be teachers, preachers, ministers, elders, parents. How do you treat those people? How do you receive them? And it could be people less formal that are speaking God's prophetic words to you. How do you treat the people who speak God's prophetic words? Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a friend at school. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's a kid. Maybe it's even someone you don't like. How do you receive and treat those people who speak these words of God to you? How do you respond to God's message? And how do you respond to the bringer of that message? Because what Jesus says is, hey, the way you respond to the bringer of that message, that's how you're responding to me. That's important. Ultimately, the bringers of God's message we got good news, right? We all, as God's messengers, have good news for people. But sometimes in the muckiness of life, sometimes we got some truths that are hard to hear, right? And sometimes it is easy to get mad at God's messengers. It's easy to reject them and reject the claims that God's word makes on your life. There's a level of self-sacrifice that we are called to that is sometimes difficult. And so sometimes there's a temptation, rather than change, rather than receive the message, to get mad at the messenger, to pick apart the messenger, so that we can reject whatever claim God is making on our lives to live sacrificially. So I want you to think, what message is God sending you that you are ignoring or talking yourself out of or blaming the messenger? Where is God speaking to you where you aren't receiving it? And maybe one way to talk yourself out of receiving it is picking apart whoever that messenger is. Maybe it's something you've heard at church. Maybe it's something your friends are trying to tell you. Maybe it's the Holy Spirit nudging you and you are just denying it, ignoring it. Is there anywhere in your life where you are rejecting God by rejecting those people in your life who are speaking God's words to you? But for us, we can also think of this as a charge, especially since it's Missions Month, to take care of our missionaries. That's really important. Much of this money that was collected today, we're going to send, and it's going to go to some like awesome, I mean, all of it, everything that we collect today is going to, that you put for a special contribution, none of that's going to Westgate. None of that's ending up here. That's all. It is all going to foreign missions. It's doing some awesome things, like I mentioned last week. But it also is going to take care of the missionaries themselves, which I think is fair. Paul says that these evangelists have a right to take a wife and make a living, and we do want to take care of God's messengers as well. Majest, I have this picture up here. He ran the Goodness of God orphanage, and now it's a school. He's a displaced missionary. He served there well. He's out of Haiti, and now he's in Mexico, and this is like a customs line in Mexico of people trying to get in and get to the States. And so while he's not actively doing ministry at the Goodness of God school, I don't want us to forget about Majest. For a lot of us, because he lived in Abilene, he's not just our missionary, but he's our friend. And even though he's not serving there, we need to remember him in our prayers. And if there's ways to take care of him, we want to do that. So what I want you to hear this morning is how you treat and receive God's messengers really matters. Rather that messenger be a missionary, a friend, or a stranger, how you receive God's messengers is close to the heart of Jesus, because Jesus knows how it feels to be rejected. He knows how it feels to bring a message and have people just get out of here. We don't want to hear that. We don't want you here. We don't want your new wacky ideas. God knows rejection. He knows rejection as Jesus, as a human, but he also knows rejection as being God of the universe. He knows what it feels like for mankind to reject him. You can look at the Old Testament prophets and see how they were rejected. And you can see how it kind of stings Jesus a little bit. In Matthew 23, he talks about Israel kind of having a record of killing his messengers, killing his prophets. I don't think Jesus likes seeing his messengers be mistreated. I don't think Jesus likes seeing his missionaries be mistreated. He cares for them. He wants them to be cared for. I think it really hurts God when people carry his message and then experience rejection. Have you ever been there? You ever been in that where you feel like you're speaking what God wants you to speak and people get mad at you for it? Well, Jesus says, hey, when they do that, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. So as hard as that experience is, know that Jesus is with you in that experience. God does not like rejection, but he knows what it feels like. But on the other side of that, the good news is he doesn't like rejecting people. Some of us kind of grew up maybe in places where we almost felt like, he kind of likes rejecting people. He kind of likes getting people. He kind of likes getting people with a gotcha. You know, just like he's looking for a reason to send someone to hell. But that's not who God is. That's not who Jesus is. He didn't come and live a perfect life and die just so he can send you to hell for some like small, minute thing. He wants to save you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to accept you. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. God desires everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He desires everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That is so important. He's not looking for a reason to send you to hell. He's looking for a reason to save you, to send you to heaven, to be with him. So we're going to offer an invitation and some challenges this morning. A challenge to reflect on your life and to become one of the least of these. Stop worrying about being the best. Stop worrying about, stop making it about you. Stop trying to elevate self above people. In what ways do you need to take the lowest spot of a servant, of a child? In what ways do you need to be more like a disciple, the least of these? And then I want to challenge you to think about how you have been receiving God's word, how you've been receiving those speaking the words of life to you. Are you rejecting him by rejecting them? And then I want to challenge you to care for and support those who speak God's words of life, those missionaries. They're doing some good things. We got some missionaries I'm really proud to partner with. And so we want to remember to take care of them, to pray for them. And so then we have an invitation this morning to experience God's radical acceptance. That, like Eric said, it supersedes nation. It transcends nation. This is kingdom. And as we think of missions, we think globally, not just regionally. And we get to be a part of the unbreaking of this kingdom. And that means sometimes loving those that we feel like are the lowest or the most sinful or the most far gone people. We're reminded that Jesus is willing to accept them. And we want to invite you to a church who is willing to offer that same level of acceptance, the same level of forgiveness, and that same level of community. If you want to receive Christ and his forgiveness this morning, if you want to be baptized into Christ, if you want prayers, if you want to become one of the least of these, we invite you to come now as together we stand and sing.